the last time we looked into this, then we had burnt, didn't we? And then last week, it was a table. And we had the bread and the wine, the condiments, the communion of our Lord. And if you remember last time, as we looked into the book of Revelation, it was chapter 5. And all the focus was on the Father. There was waiting for this scroll to be unrolled, the seals to be broken. And they were searching heaven and earth and under the earth, and they couldn't find anyone. Suddenly Jesus appears, takes the scroll from the Father's hand. And the attention goes from the Father then onto the Son. They begin to praise, and praise erupts in the throne room of heaven. And they begin to look at what is about to be unleashed on the earth. And as we go through this today, can I have the first slide, please, Joe? So as we go through this today, there are 6 seals that are broken in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation. There's the 4 horsemen released. Then another seal is broken. You've got all the saints under the throne who have been martyred for their faith. And they're crying out to God and they're saying, how long, O Lord, before you bring everything to a close? And the Lord says to them, just one moment. Just one more moment. One more moment. And it says in the scripture, doesn't it, that Jesus tarries that the lost might be brought in. Amen. And then after that, there's like this cosmic release of judgment where the stars are shaken, the heavens are shaken, the earth's shaken. And then we'll go into chapter 7. But today we're going to focus on these 4 horsemen because these have to come before everything else happens. And we're going to try and discern, like the tribe of Issachar, it says, discern the time that you're in. They knew how to discern the times that they were in. And we're going to be like that today. We're going to try and discern which of these horsemen have been released on the earth. And so what I want to do is just do an overview. Joe, if you keep an eye on me, please, son. Do an overview. So the next slide, please. So with all prophetic nature in the scriptures, that it's not like a catalogue of things. It's more cyclical. That things go round. That the word of the Lord comes to earth. It does its work. It returns to him. Comes back down, cuts through time, goes back to him. And it's like that. And we see that happening all through scripture, and particularly in this chapter. That first of all, there is a horse released. We're going to look at this one last, the one with the star next to it, because he's on a white horse. And because it's a white horse, you would think that's Jesus, and it's not. It's a deceiver. And he's brilliant at deceiving. In fact, the Bible says that he will deceive even the elect, that's us, if it was possible. But praise be to God for the Holy Spirit, it isn't possible. Hallelujah. And then once the deceiver has come on the earth, then a red horse is released, a red horse and its rider. Do you remember? I told you that dream that I had in February 2022 of the red, when I was lifted up above the earth and looked down, saw red covering the earth, and then this huge shout of the word red, and red covered the earth. And then I think it was about 3 weeks later that Russia invaded Ukraine. And the Lord took me to Revelation 6. He took me to this chapter, actually, verse 2. And that the red horseman, the peace was being taken from the earth. And I felt the Lord say at that time that that war would herald in this season of wars. This season where peace would be taken from the earth. And then after that, there's a black horse released and bringing famine to the earth and drought and hunger. And after that, there's a pale green horse. It says pale in the scriptures, but actually the Greek translation is green. It's a pale green. And he will bring death across the earth, 1/4 of the earth. So this is a good news today that I'm bringing to you. And then after that, the martyrdom of the Christians, and then the cosmic signs. Now, the thing is, do you remember saying right at the start in chapter 1 Why did the Holy Spirit ensure that John began with the throne room scene? So that when we begin to look at this and to see what's coming, we're able to keep our eyes on Christ. Because he's in control of everything. And these aren't the days to mess with your faith. These are the days to knuckle down, get in the quiet place, get in the secret place, begin to seek the heart and the face of God for what's been unleashed on the earth. And as we go along today, we'll see that there are several agendas being pushed by the globalists, by those who are not very good people. But it's part of the plan. It's part of God's plan that they would do that. And so we will see. So we have the first horse. False Messiah emerges with false promises of peace and prosperity. The second seal, global war erupts as peace is taken from the earth. The third seal is broken. That's the black horse. Famine, economic systems, supply chains, failed droughts and floods, basic needs become unaffordable. In fact, one of the verses says that you will pay about 80 quid for one loaf of bread. Probably more than that, actually. But hold on to the end, because there is good news.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. These are very sobering things. A lot of preachers will stay away from this sort of thing because it's, the Bible says, preach the whole truth. Bring all the scriptures out, not just the ones that tickle the ears and sound nice, but actually these sort of scriptures help us to sober up and to realize this thing is real. Okay, the scriptures, the Bible is so real. It's so graphic. It's so detailed in what's about to happen upon the earth. Okay? And so we must look at it, we must absorb it, and we must live by it. Amen? Hallelujah. So first of all, we start with the red horse. Okay? Now it says in the scripture, it says this, that whoever reads this book, the book of Revelation, and whoever hears this book is blessed. So I want us all to read these verses together. Okay? When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come. Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. As this horse is unleashed upon the nations, the wars will increase across the globe. And you have the governments are now saying, elect me, I'll make everything better. None of them will make anything better, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. And so we know that there's war coming upon the earth, that the wars will increase. Jesus said this, that ethnic group will rise against ethnic group. And it will be like a woman in birth pangs. Now, thankfully, I haven't had a child. I've helped, but I haven't actually had one. All right? Now, I remember Isabel. And she's not here, so I shall share this. That I remember, I don't know, some of you guys will remember this as well. That the first stages of labor, the contractions, and they get more and more intense. And then right up just before the child's born, there is a primal scream. And Jesus is saying that just like those contractions get more and more intense, so things will get worse at the end of time. Until there comes a primal scream. But it won't come from earth, it'll come from heaven. As a testimony against the wickedness upon earth. And then, what the Bible calls the day will come. So wars will continue on an unprecedented scale as nations are stirred to war against one another. We think at the moment you've got Ukraine, Russia, you've got China, Taiwan, you've got Israel against Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah, you've got Lebanon, you've got war in Syria, you've got war in Yemen, war in Armenia, now you've got war in Cambodia and Thailand. And these are just the beginnings. Just the beginnings. And I do hope that this will, in a way, put a fear of God inside every one of us to get us to our knees and begin to pray to God that we'll be kept in those days. Amen. Hallelujah. So it will, can I have the next horse, please, Joe? The black horse. And if we can all read this, if you can see it as well. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wage, and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages. And do not damage the oil and the wine." Hallelujah. It's brilliant, isn't it? Hallelujah. You see, if we think of Ukraine, I mean, how the Bible explains all this is remarkable. So it says that you've got this war, this horse of war come. Then you've got this famine come. Then you've got death come. And if you look at the war in Ukraine, that's exactly what happened. There was a war started, then a famine started because all the supply chains broke down. The economics of the country began to wobble and then death followed. It's all a result of war. If you think in World War II, they had to have rations, didn't they? You know, famine is a result of war because you can't operate normally. I used to be a supply chain manager for a company for Europe. And the intricacies of that supply chain, I sometimes think today even that it would only take like a tremor to break those supply chains up. When you think you've got to get it from the field into the storehouse, packaged, out on the trucks, abroad. You see, Ukraine was known and is known as the basket bread, of the bread basket of the world. It's where most of the barley comes from. And so there's been recorded over 500,000 children, which we never hear of, by the way, because it's got nothing to do with Israel, the Jews that they hate. 500,000 children in Sudan have died through starvation since 2017, I think it was. That's a lot of children. That's only children. And that's only the ones they've counted. And the funny thing in our land is because, you know, we don't get persecuted. So we're quite strong in our faith in some ways that we don't get persecuted. But in other ways, we're very weak. And we never, because we're surrounded by our comforts, the mammon of life, that we never really give consideration or never really experience what suffering is really, really like. And that doesn't strengthen us, that weakens us. But we do see at this moment a shaking in this nation at the moment. There's a political shaking, there's a religious shaking. The king, who is supposed to defend the faith, has abandoned the faith. Is backing the globalists, is backing Hamas, is backing Palestine. And so a judgment, once a nation declares it's an enemy of Israel, from the premier, from the prime minister as well, God releases a judgment on that nation. That's what the Bible says. And so we are only just receiving the first fruits of that judgment. That is why everything's unsettling. The Bible never lies. It will always be fulfilled. These things have to come to pass because the book says, and they will come to pass. But let me say, this is not a time to fear. This is not a time to fear. For we have Christ living in us.
Amen.
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 And if we knew our Bibles, we wouldn't be taken surprised by this, because the scriptures tell us. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I have the next horse, please, Joe? Hallelujah. Let's read this one. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth.
Wow.
I'm glad my hope isn't in this world. Hallelujah. If all this is coming as a bit of a shock to you, hold in there. Hold in there. Hallelujah. So we see that death will come through multiple channels over one fourth of the earth, over one quarter of the earth. Death will be given authority to take life through various means. Death is not something that happens to you. Death is a spirit. Okay? If we look at that, it says, what does it say? I looked and there was before me a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind what? Him. Death is a spirit. It's not a thing. Dying is something that happens to you, but death is a spirit. Hades is hell. It's where the dead go, the unsaved. And so this is saying that when this is released across the earth, that there will be a gathering into hell of souls that have rejected Jesus, and that is their last chance, it's done. That is frightening. And I'll tell you something, that really should put a fire in all of us to go tell the gospel. The message, you know, if you had a cure for cancer, you'd be out there telling everybody you've got a cure for cancer. We have got a cure for sin. Hallelujah. And so we should be out there telling people about that cure for sin. Amen. It's the only antidote. Jesus is the only antidote for judgment. Hallelujah. That's why he said, there's no way you can come to the Father except through me. I'm the only one who give my life for you. Bled out for you, hung on the cross for you. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. And this isn't just a poetic escalation of things happening upon the earth. It's cause and effect. Like I was explaining about war, unsettlement, war, things breaking down, society breakdown. War devastates infrastructure and economy. Food becomes scarce. And then there's widespread death ensues. Not only from war, but also from hunger and disease. Now all of these three horsemen, are you still with me?
Yeah.
All of these three horsemen follow after the first one. And the first one, by its very nature, is so deceiving. Even when you study the scriptures around this character, you've got to really dig in to see the truth. And so the Lord has put it that way, the Holy Spirit has put it that way, so that as we study it, you do a study on the white horse in chapter 6, Revelation, white horseman. And as you study it, you'll find he's very ambiguous. These horses tell you exactly what it's going to bring and what's going to happen. But the horseman on the white horse is very ambiguous. It doesn't tell you what's going to happen. It just says that he's been given a crown, a bow. Pardon? An eye? And a quiver. He hasn't been given a quiver. Joe, can I have next horse, please? Hallelujah. Let's read.
I watched
as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow and was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. There's a couple of strange things about this individual that I want to look at. The first thing is that he's on a white horse. And some of the scholars think that's Jesus. But if you read Revelation 19, when Jesus comes on the white horse, this character is nothing like him. Absolutely nothing like him. He comes presenting himself as holiness, purity, and a representation of triumph over evil. How will he do that? Because he's going to come as the chaos increases in the world. And the heart of man will be looking for someone, an individual, who will come and solve everything. And Muslims, I speak to Muslims on the street sometimes, and they told me that it's their job to create chaos in the world. Because then their Mahdi will come back. The globalists also want to create chaos on the world to push their agenda of centralized global government. And so you have so many things playing against each other here. And where we are, we're just sitting there caught up in the middle of it. And let me just say this, as I was studying this, I it was like opening a can. I went down a rabbit hole. And for four solid days, just on this horse, which I've looked at before over the years. But the amount of stuff involved in this is impossible to bring in one message. So you'll have to forgive me. I'm just going to skim over what I could just sort of grab what's going on. Okay. Hallelujah. Help me, Holy Spirit. Kiara badashana la kiara kodoshana. So first of all, he comes on a white horse pretending he's Christ-like. He's going to pretend he's the Messiah. And he will fool Muslims, Jews, the world, and hopefully he won't fool born-again Christians who are really full of the Holy Spirit. But those who are sleeping in their faith, he may. So we got to really be awake. Hallelujah. The next thing is a crown. He wears a crown. This is why some of the scholars thought that it was Christ, because Jesus wears a crown. However, the crown that this horse rider is wearing is the Greek word for it is Stephanos. And Stephanos is a crown that is awarded to you. So this crown was given to this rider for a temporary time of victory. The crown that Jesus wears, the Greek word is diadem. It's an inherent crown. Jesus is King of Kings. He just is. He always was. Before Mary, he was called the Word of God. After Mary, he's called the Son of God. But he always had that kingship, that royalty in him. So it speaks of Jesus wearing a totally different crown than this character. Hallelujah. The next thing, I am just skimming over this because there's so much in it. The next thing is the bow. If you was going hunting, why would you take a bow without arrows? It's like taking a gun without bullets. Why would you do that? And when you start to begin to dig into this, you begin to understand that this guy is going to have total domination over the world, largely without bloodshed. And the reason why he's going to do it without arrows, without conflict, without war, is going to do it through your mind. What do you think social media is all about? How many people get addicted to scrolling on their phones? Not all of you have to own up, I understand. It's very addictive. The enemy of your soul is after your mind. And if he can get you to waste your hours away in this life, who shall I send that one to? Oh, I can't send that to the pastor. Yeah. Oh dear. I ain't got my phone. I can't call the rubbish joke, please. Yeah, I'll get it in a sec. You understand how the enemy is anesthetizing our minds? I remember when I was a kid, which actually seems further away now than ever. Time ago, go on. But the thing is this, when we were kids, there was just the pay phones. So if you want to see your friends, you got to get up off your backside. You got to go round, knock on the door. You're coming out to play. And what the phones are doing, they're replacing personal touch. There is so much going on in these days, you wouldn't believe it. It would take you a lifetime to research it all. The assault of the enemy upon mankind, upon the Jews, and particularly upon the Christians at the moment as well, is astonishing. So this guy, the book of Daniel 9:27 says that there's a guy going to come and he's going to offer the world a covenant of peace. So the Bible says that Jerusalem becomes a stumbling stone for all nations in the end days. And we see that happening today. Israel is a massive issue. No one can resolve it. No one can resolve it. And the reason they can't resolve it is because it's not political or military. It's a spiritual issue. And it goes right back to the day of Ishmael being rejected and Isaac being given the promise and the jealousy thereof. But you also have Muhammad who came along, who took lots of different ideas from the trade route that he was working on and made up a movement out of them. Many people are blinded. Many people. I'm not against Muslims in any way. I love them. I want to see them saved. But Islam, I'm against. Particularly for what it does to those people and what it seeks to do across the earth. So what we have to do is we have to use the scriptures to interpret what we're looking at. We don't look at outside things. We look at the scripture. So there's a guy called Chuck Missler. I'd recommend go listen to his study on the Bible. It's called The Bible in 24 Hours. Remarkable, remarkable. It will illuminate the scriptures to you, particularly the end times. And so he had this principle called first mention interpretation, where if he didn't understand a word in the Bible, he would go right back, search the scriptures, go back to when it was first mentioned to understand what it originally meant in the scriptures. And so as we're looking at this covenant, this covenant that is going to come like it's a brilliant thing, but it's going to be horrendous. We have to look back through Scripture to see Well, has there been in Israel's history a covenant made before without bloodshed? Yes. The answer is yes. Hallelujah. Where are we gone? The Gibeonites. Remember, the Gibeonites was a people group in the Old Testament, and they tricked Israel into a covenant that Israel is still paying with today. Because God told them to wipe them, those people out, because they were evil. But the Gibeonites brought them into a covenant. Covenants are so powerful, even the Israelites will not break them once they've made them. That's why Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Jesus said this, if you make a covenant, it's better that you make none whatsoever than make one and then break it before the Lord. Amen. So covenants can be made without bloodshed. Dominion can be gained without bloodshed. It just needs very, very clever negotiators. And the bow is a representation of war. Jeremiah 49:35, the Lord says, I will break the bow of Elam, the mainstay of their might. So we begin to get a picture of what this bow is representing here. It can also represent covenant. Genesis 9:13, God says, I've set my rainbow, the bow, in the clouds, in the air, and it shall be for a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. So we will have floods, like Jesus said in the last days, but we will not have one that will cover the earth. I love seeing rainbows. There's just something very special about them, isn't there? Always makes my heart overflow when I see a rainbow, because it reminds me of God is a covenant-keeping God. Amen?
Amen.
If we look on a negative side of covenants without war, you look at Solomon, the wisest man in all the earth, whoever lived, the Bible said. And yet he made a covenant with foreign women who God told him not to. And what happened? They brought their worship into the nation of Israel and destroyed the heart of Israel. So we begin to get a clear picture of what this guy is like, this person who's going to appear on the world stage. He may represent a spiritual or political force that conquers hearts, systems, and nations, as I said, without shedding blood, echoing the deceptive peace that precedes judgment. Hallelujah. And according to Daniel 9:27, this guy is going to come, and I do believe, I really believe this, that within the next few years, we're going to see this covenant made. And we'll go on to the next slide, please, Joe. So we're going to finish in 10 minutes. This is a big question. Are we in the Revelation 6 cycle? Are these things happening now? There has been a covenant made, and it's just in its embryonic stage. It's called the Abrahamic Accord. And Daniel said that it will be made between many. And at the moment, there's four nations in this Abrahamic Accord. But more are going to join. And no, Donald Trump isn't the Antichrist. He was the guy who set this up. But he's not the Antichrist. He's too obvious. But there will come one who will bring this into play. And I do believe that that man is alive now on the earth. I do believe it. He's probably a young man. But he's definitely alive on the earth. For all the signs that are happening, this figure is alive somewhere on the earth right now. Most scholars will agree that this Abrahamic Accord that they're looking at in the Middle East is not the fulfillment of Daniel 9:27, but it is a foreshadowing, a prototype kind of thing. all right, I'm just thinking where to go with this because there was so much, so much. Now, who remembers the WEF in 2020, that's World Economic Forum, putting out a statement on their website that by 2030 you will own nothing but you'll be happy? Do you remember that? If you go on that website today, that's been removed. And you would think that they'd abandoned it, but they haven't. What they've done is passed it to the UN, and the UN are subversively bringing that about. Clever, clever people. But not, they ain't got an ounce of clever compared to the Holy Spirit, amen, who brings revelation from behind the scenes. Hallelujah. So the big reset, that's what they called it, wasn't it? 2030, the big reset is what they're working towards, where basically their intention was that they would take everything from you, everything from you, everything from me, and we would pay subscription for it. Our cars would be a subscription. They would take our homes away from us. They would be on subscription. Why would they do this? Because then they have control. Okay? So that was their aim. And I used to think, they're not taking my car. They ain't taking my home. But if they cause a shortage in foods and a shortage in waters that you can't afford food and the house, and then they come to you and say, give us your home. And it's all you've got to do is pay us a little bit of money for it. We'll say, yeah, of course we can, because we can afford food then. We can afford what? We can afford to feed the family. I'm not saying that's the way they would do it, but that's one way. Because I don't know whether you're aware of this, that the guy who owns Microsoft is buying up thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of land in America. And he's causing the farmers to stop growing food on them. And so what they've been doing is they've been growing rapeseed oil. And what rapeseed oil does, and I've heard this from the mouth of a farmer in Wales, is that it destroys the soil. And so a farmer, once rapeseed's been grown in that soil, a farmer cannot grow vegetation for 10 years. Now then, why on earth would you want to destroy the soil that grows vegetation that people eat? Why would you do that? For me, that's really, really wicked. Really wicked. So we have a lot going on. Are we in that cycle now? Let's look at wars. The wars going on. So I did research and trying to find out how many wars. I've mentioned a couple, but here's all the wars currently going on at the moment. Most of them you don't hear anything about. But when I saw this list, I nearly fell off my seat. Here we go. In Africa, you have Sudan, South Sudan, Ethiopia, Nigeria, Burkina Faso, Mali, DR Congo, Cameroon, Niger, Chad, Mozambique, Central Africa Republic, Libya, Uganda, Benin, Togo, Algeria, Morocco, Ivory Coast, Tunisia. All these, they're either at war with their neighbours or there is major unrest, like military unrest within the country. Insurgencies going on. In the Middle East, you have Syria, Iraq, Yemen, Israel, Palestine. I don't even want to say that word. In Asia, you have Myanmar, Afghanistan, Thailand, Cambodia, Taiwan, China. In Europe, you have Ukraine and Russia. And you think about what's going on in France at the moment as well. That isn't even mentioned. In America, you got Mexico, Colombia, Haiti, and Ecuador. Are we in that cycle of Revelation 6? Off evidence, I would say absolutely. And I would even say this, I would say we're not, I believe we have gone beyond the beginning of sorrows. I really believe that with all my heart. And I wouldn't say that willy-nilly. I know that's a big thing to say. But go and do the research. Have a look. I'm sure you'll come up with the same conclusion. And then we have a look at the where the martyrs under the throne who've given their life for the faith. Are there Christians giving their lives for the faith today? You bet your bottom dollar there is. Absolutely. Okay. So let me just read you this. This shocked me, this did. I don't easily get shocked, but this shocked me. Well, first of all, I'll tell you this. At the moment, 380 million Christians, your brothers and sisters, are facing high-level persecution. This record was done in 2025, this year, earlier this year. Meaning one in seven Christians are globally affected by persecution. For the Jews, they've had a 317% increase in incidents since October the 7th. Okay? Now then, so I decided to research, well, whereabouts in the world at the moment are Christians being persecuted? Because I know they do maps and everything, don't they? Show you the highest rate of Christians being persecuted. And I discovered that most countries no longer record the deaths of Christians. Yep. It kind of hit me like a sledgehammer, how we can get involved in our little world and our brothers and sisters who are like little lambs. They're beautiful, beautiful souls. I think of those 21 men on the shore of Libya who refused to renounce their faith, were martyred for it, and how they were kept for 3 months in an 8-foot square room, 21 of them, not fed, not watered. You know, some religions say, we will conquer you with the sword, we'll conquer you with the fist. But real born-again Christians say, we will conquer you with love. We'll conquer you with forgiveness. Amen. Hallelujah. So these figures I'm about to give you are Christians who have died, born-again Christians who have died over the last couple of years. And this is without any real record being kept. Nigeria, Boko Haram, killed no less than 80,000 Christians. The Democratic Republic of Congo, armed militias have killed no less than 80,000 Christians. In Iraq, ISIS have killed no less than 35,000 Christians. This is just over the last few years. And we know now there isn't a church that exists in Iraq anymore. In Syria, they've killed 25,000 Christians over the last 4 years. ISIS-led groups. In Pakistan, over the last 3 years, 3.5 years, 12,000 Christians have been killed related to blasphemy law, false accusations. So when the scripture says this, I've got another list on the other side. I'm not going to go there. When it says that those who were martyred for their faith stand before the throne of God, crying out to him, saying, "How long, O Lord, will it be before you bring justice upon the earth for the murder of innocents?" We get an idea. When I see the brothers and sisters like little lambs, like little sheep, innocent, being slaughtered by bloodthirsty people, it caves my heart. Have the next slide, please, Joe. Bring it to a close now. So what must we do in all this? What must we do? The information isn't there to crush us, but it should awaken us. And it should not take hope away, because our hope isn't in this life, it's in Christ. Amen. Keep watch, Jesus said. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Keep watch. I know this might sound crazy to some, but Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. And he is not far away. And the only reason he's delaying, that he's tarrying, is that more loss may be bought in. But there is a number in the book of life that God says when that number's reached, judgment's going to be poured out upon the earth. Preach truth urgently. Hallelujah. Share the gospel message and prophetic understanding without fear or compromise, knowing time may be short. As we know, there's a thing called the rapture. I don't believe Christians will go through the wrath of God. And it does say that when the comforter is moved out of the way, or the restrainer, who is the Holy Spirit, not the church, that all hell will be unleashed on earth, or rather all heaven will be unleashed on earth. And it says, Jesus promised this, that I will never leave you like orphans. I'll never leave you or forsake you. So when the Holy Spirit's moved out the way, guess who goes with him? Us, absolutely. And that's called the rapture. And it's going to happen in the blink of an eye. Boy, oh boy, but there is some stuff coming on earth before that happens. Remain vigilant. Be not deceived by false promises of peace or worldly security. Keep your eyes fixed on Christ's return. There can only be one unity. It's not ecumenical. It's spiritual. And there's only one true truth. There's no such thing as your truth or my truth. There's the truth. His name's Jesus. Amen. And there's only one unity, and that's unity in truth. And so we have to be careful that we don't appease think people by having a unity with them, a false unity. When heaven frowns on that unity, we're going to know about it. Luke 21, 28. And when these things begin, when what begins? Chapter 6 of Book of Revelation. When these things begin to come to pass, then do what? Cry, feel sorry for yourself? Pull out the jelly ice cream, have a pity party? No. It says, look up. Hallelujah. Lift up your head, Bri, because one day, hallelujah, one day, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And I'll just put that at the bottom. We're not just observing. We're being summoned. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father God, I pray for every person in this place, Lord. I pray that the stuff just spoken of, which is only just scratching the surface, Father God, will not lay heavy upon them in the sense of bringing a solemn spirit. But Father God, it will draw them to the knees to pray for the persecuted church. That Father, it will put a fire in our spirit, oh God, to go share the gospel, because time is short and we don't have any excuses, Lord. I've been too busy today. It's no excuse. Oh, I've not been feeling too well. I've been feeling a bit. It's funny, eh? When we go out on the street, we don't feel too well. Or we can't be bothered. We got to win people for Christ. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we pray, oh God, that you, through this, Lord, that you put a fire in our spirit. And, Lord, it's not a down, a negative, a depressing. It's not depressing if you've got Christ raising in you, reigning in you. Because we know, Lord, these things are promised. And they're happening before our eyes. That, Lord, help us to be alert and awake. Help us, oh God, to be like watchmen on the walls, Lord. To be watching out for our coming King. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.